You're listening to Rust Belt Run.
Running is what makes me realize that, like, I'm a human being who is worth something.
That is not a good measurement of my value as a human.
We get between 8 and 10,000 additional comments, and I read every one of them.
So you had to run Sand Run for your first. You become race director and take it out.
it's got to be old guy naked in the locker room.
I get to spend time with my friend Adam. I get to do something with my friend.
Right now, I'm not thinking much beyond what I'm going to be drinking next week at this time.
Coleslaw on a taco is not taco, it's barbecue.
And so we'll be discussing tonight with some occasional swear words from Andrew because he's upset, and that's okay.
I know him as the biggest Kid Rock fan around.
You rap that.
Oh, dear God.
You're listening to Rust Belt Running. I'm Adam Wheeler. You can find me on social media at Wheels Up in CLE. Joined as I always am by Andrew Hettinger. You can find him on social media at Andrew Runs a Lot. If you want to find the podcast on social media, you can find us at Rust Belt Running.
Before we go any further, let's take a quick break to tell you a little bit about what we do with run coaching. Adam, why don't you tell us about it?
It's personalized run coaching. It takes into account the schedule that you have to get your runs in, the goals that you have, as well as the base that you come to us with. You talk to us about what it is you want to be doing, the time that you have to do it, and we come up with a personalized plan that fits your needs, works on you towards your goals, and helps provide a bird's eye view on your training to make sure that you don't plateau, to make sure that you're doing the correct training that's appropriate for you, and to get you showing up on race day confidence that you're going to be ready to hit your race goals.
So to learn more about how we can help you hit your race goals, go to rustbeltrunning.com. There you can find out about our different levels and coaching, find out more about us as runners and coaches, or you can support the show with buying merch, a sweatshirt, a patch that you can iron on to your singlet for that race that you're running soon. Maybe you don't want people knowing that you listen to us, but regardless, support the show. But for now, sit back and enjoy the rest of this episode.
Andrew, how you doing, bud?
New year, man. New year.
New year.
New year, same Buckeyes.
Oh, no. We don't have to do that either.
You want to start over again?
No, we're good. That was actually a hell of a game. It was one of the best college games I've seen in quite a while.
Well, and at least the kick when it went up, like, yeah, as soon as it left his foot, you were like, oh, nope. No. Like, it was, like, almost comically bad. So there wasn't, like, true heartbreak. It was, I mean, yeah, it sucked, and it was a, it was a heartbreaker, but some of the conversations you and I had were, like, I think you wanted to see some of the toughness that, like, TCU played with.
Yeah.
And that's what we didn't see against that team up north the last 2 years. We saw an Ohio State team that, you know, was like a dog with its tail between its legs the last 2 years, which was so unlike Ryan Day.
Yeah.
And I feel like we actually saw what we've wanted to see, maybe not from the defense in the fourth quarter, but apart from that, the defense played really well for three quarters against that offense. And, but Ryan Day was aggressive and, you know, it took some UGA luck between that timeout that's called a second half after a second half after the snap. And you could tell that in real time. That's what was so awful.
Yes.
Like we like had the first down and then they blow it dead. It's like, what?
Yeah. It's really easy to manage a game when you can watch the play that you're not prepared for unfolding and then decide, like, no, timeout. We're done.
It's also easy when like you're playing by a different set of rules. Like when they wrote the targeting rule, they wrote it to prevent the type of hit Marvin Harrison took.
Yeah.
And I saw the replay of that and I was like, there was no doubt in my mind that that was going to be upheld. And then they came back from a commercial with no explanation. And all of a sudden we were setting up for a field goal. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. How was that? Because it wasn't helmet to helmet. That's not everything.
Guy left his feet. He launched into him, which is in the rule. It's written into the rule that you're not allowed to launch at a guy.
That was bogus, man.
it's crazy when you look at Ohio State, and I'm not using it as an excuse. It's just something worth noting that at the end of that game, Ohio State was down its number one tight end, its number one wide receiver, its number two wide receiver, and its number one running back. And they gave
and
Georgia
number
everything.
Two running back.
Like Mayan Williams really didn't play that much. No. And Evan Pryor didn't play at all during the season period. And gave Georgia, the defending national champions, everything they could handle. And it's not an excuse. You've got to play with what you've got on the field, but yeah, it is one of those games where there's a couple of things that occurred that were officiating related that the outcome changes if those things don't happen. I just hated that the kick happened. It needed to happen 1 minute earlier. So that could be like the last thing that I saw happen in 2022. Instead, it was like the first 15 seconds of 2023 was an awful shank.
The first 20 seconds of 2023 was me yelling obscenities at Stetson Bennett for running on the field crying. Yeah. Like, dude, no, you don't get to do that after some of the luck you got in the game. Like, no, you don't get to do that. You were supposed to destroy us.
Yes.
And like, nobody gave us a chance. You don't get to run out there crying like you accomplished something.
Right.
Like, especially after winning a national championship last year. Now, you don't get to do that. Like, that was the part of the game for me that I was most mad. I was okay with us losing the way the game played out. Like, I told my wife before the kick went up, I was like, whatever happens, I'm, you know, as much as I dogged us after that game in November, I'm proud of the effort I saw today. I was okay with it, but then I got just belligerently mad at Stetson Bennett for being just a grade A douche. But that's not what we came here to talk about today. It's a way to start the new year out. Last week we talked about goal setting. This week we have somebody on who has a pretty audacious goal, but maybe not just in running. We brought on one of my running friends.
Say the name, Andrew. Get the name right. Let's see if we can start out 2023 getting names right.
Dude, I said I'm not doing last names anymore. I already said that. I can't believe I did that with Mark Freeman. Oh, my God.
Hey,
so awful.
Yeah, but if there was anybody whose name you were going to get wrong, Mark would be the guy. I mean, I saw the messages that came back to us on Instagram, and he could not have been more gracious. The comment about every author being the same and having the same cardigan is just so Mark.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe I did that. In case you missed it, I had Mark Freeman, who's a friend of ours, renowned author of the book You Are Not a Rock. Last week, I referred to him as Mark Matthews, who is another author of a book, Chasing the Dragon, which is a really good book for runners. It's his journey overcoming drug addiction and becoming like a sub-3 marathoner.
Yeah.
And using running to get past it. So Mark, and he also writes like a lot of like horror books, which is kind of interesting to see like the type of author he typically is, but he has this one really good book related to running. But I confused, and I do it all the time, just like I do with the Fitzgeralds. Like I always confuse
Jason and Matt.
And, I did it and I didn't even catch it. And then I'm doing the podcast Eve and I last week and I used the clip where I was talking about Mark Freeman's book and I said Mark Matthews and I'm sitting in my chair in my living room and I just put my head in my hands like, dude, you did it again. Because just the week before I called Bethany Haver Bethany Hanover and
I couldn't remember what the other one was. That's right. It's okay.
I'm like, you gotta be kidding. So Courtney Rugaber is our guest.
Hey!
And I'm not posting the video, but I literally had to look off to the side and I had to say it quietly to myself before I said it in the microphone because I'm like, I'm not messing this up.
Unique New York. Unique New York.
Ow now, brown cow. The Human Torch was denied a Venkla. That is strangely relevant.
Yeah, it's actually going to play into the end of this podcast perfectly.
I have million leather-bound books.
How did the interview actually be the most normal part of our podcast this week? That's not usually the case.
Well, especially if you know Courtney at all, it's really surprising because she is got energy. Now, she brought it down a couple levels. She brought it down to like a 10 out of 10. She's usually like a 14 out of 10.
So. It's funny because I don't know Courtney, really. I know of her through you. And just based on the conversations that we had beforehand, I'm like, okay, I'm expecting big, like, crazy off-the-wall energy. And you could tell that that's there, but that it wasn't there today. Today seemed like more of the professional, which, with given what she talks about, makes total sense. I can't imagine what she was like as a teacher. Like, that had to be just an absolute blast.
Probably. Oh, I would have run roughshod over her if I was a student. No, see, I was the student who like became friends with the teachers, even though I was terrible.
Okay. At,
like, I didn't do the homework and stuff. I just always got along with them, and like I had that, like, I could respectfully joke with them, but then I would like toe the line. Like, there was one time. What was her name? I'm trying to remember this teacher's name. But we were, my friend Adam, oh, ironic. My friend Adam and I, we were always toeing the line with her. And one time we were like, hey, we had like a half day or something. And we were just watching a movie. And we were like, hey, we're going to go get something from the vending machine. And she was like, okay. Well, since it was a half day, the vending machines were off because it was typically lunchtime. Because for some reason they shut the vending machines off during lunchtime. And she asked us to get her a Diet Coke while we were there.
Okay.
Well, since they were off, we just walked out the front door, got in his car, and we went to Wendy's to get drinks. And we come back with Wendy's, and we give her like a biggie Diet Coke. And she was like, can you guys go wait in the hall for a minute? And we're like, aw. And it was one of these things where it's like, she came out, she's like, I get it. It's funny, but it's really it's really disrespectful. And it's like that was the type of stuff where it's like I would just toe the line over and over and over again. And then occasionally you'd go over it and I would actually feel like crap because I'm like, oh, man, like you're cool. And I'm just kind of trying to have fun with you. I think we even called her by her first name. Like it was like that type of thing.
Oh, no.
No, but she was cool with it. She hated actually being called Miss or Mrs. or whatever. I think we called her Leah. I don't remember her last name because she didn't want to be called that. She hated it. Like she wanted to be like, she was very cool, but it was, you kind of take advantage of it sometimes. I could see Courtney being that if she was my high school teacher.
If she listens to this episode that she was on, she'll have to confirm or deny that. It's actually funny that you mentioned that because, you know, Wheels, which I go by and that actually started when I was coaching in Ravenna. The guys would call me Wheels, and coaching is, it's a looser relationship with your students than it is when you're teaching. And it just kind of became a thing. And my department head just like flipped out one day about how unprofessional it was. I'm like, I don't care. Like I have so many things I have to care about. I choose not to care about this thing. It was like one of the many reasons we didn't get along. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, let people take the level of respect they want. Like, that's true respect, you know? Like, I don't want to force it. Like, it's just like when some of our athletes want to call me coach. Oh, I don't want
to. No, like, no. Like, oh, no. No.
And, I mean, some people are cool with it. Like, I know a lot of people call Rachel Lehman Coach Rachel, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Don't ever call me Coach Andrew, please.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, and there's nothing wrong with it. I don't care. I just, for me, no, it's just not my.
We'll put that in our welcome email. When you show interest in, when you show interest in being coached by us, please don't call us coach.
Well, all right, let's just get to Courtney now. Courtney takes us through her journey joining the PLX Running Club and how that kind of kicked off some really cool nonprofit work. That she's taken on and has actually led to her being being employed and doing it for a living with the organization Project Outrun, which we had Eamon Scullion on last year, and we talked about Project Outrun with him. And she really takes this more, even more into it than Eamon did. And because Eamon was talking more about the race and the event that he was putting on. Here we got to hear a little more about the organization and some really awesome, noble goals coming out of Project Outrun. And their nationwide reach, which that was kind of a surprise to me, was how big their reach is and their network is. So I think you're really going to enjoy this. She is full of energy. She's a lot of fun. She's a good friend of ours, or a good friend of mine. So she's a good friend of Adam's now, too. Well, let's lump us all together here. So this is about 45 minutes. It's a fun conversation with Courtney Rugaber. She brings up her life partner Matt a lot too.
Hey Courtney, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Marathon training, tired. I'm good.
I feel it. I feel like if you're, I don't know, running, lifting, whatever you're doing, you're always parenting. You're some level of tired.
Yes.
Or sick. Sick is in there for everybody this year too. It's like you're either like everybody's really getting into the throw of things, or they're sick. And I happen to be like in the middle there right now.
Recovering.
Yeah. I was out with a friend that I work with the other night. We went out just to grab a beer after work. And I was just, you know, saying like, yeah, you know, I'm in marathon training now, back in that routine. She goes, I'd really like to see what your life is like. Like, you'd be very disappointed. I wake up and I do some work for the podcast / business. And then I go get my run in, and then I lift some weights, eat, and then get ready for work and do that and just repeat. 7 days a week.
Yep. And I get very
There's not
hungry.
A whole lot going on.
Yeah, very hungry.
Very hungry.
Very hungry all the time.
Angry. I need a nap.
Yes.
Courtney made the most ridiculous looking breakfast sandwich one day. And to this day, when I make I made eggs this morning. And since I knew we were going to have you on, I was thinking, I was like, I got to have that breakfast sandwich one day. And you know what I'm talking about.
I know. It's the Courtney Cristo.
Yeah, so can you walk me through this amazing looking sandwich that you've made that I to Other this photos. Day
there's a reel too.
It's incredible. Please take me through the Courtney Cristo.
So I love breakfast. So in a nutshell, I am Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation.
Yes, you are on the right podcast.
So she is me, I am she. So I love breakfast, and I love like having all of the things at breakfast. And so one day I was just like really wanting like a Monte Cristo, but we just didn't have like all of the things. So like a Monte Cristo is like a breakfast grilled cheese sandwich, but the bread is French toast. Okay, for those of you people that aren't familiar. And so I didn't have all of the exact things, but I had bread and I had eggs and I had like turkey sausage patties and cheese. Oh, and so I like made all of this and I put it all together. And like, I am a big lover of all Akron local products. And like the one that I hype up very frequently is Akron Honey. And, So Brent Wesley, who owns Akron Honey, he makes this habanero hot honey that is like my favorite condiment to put on anything ever. So I was like slathering and dipping and dunking this like Courtney Cristo, what I called it, into habanero hot honey. And that is the sandwich. It is so good.
I'm trying to think, Adam, do you have it up? What's the date on it?
July 16th of last year.
I knew it was during the tonsil thing. I knew it was during that. So
it
I saw
so
this.
It's so good.
I'm probably sitting in my bed watching this, unable to eat, going, oh my gosh, that looks so good. Yeah. And that was probably my excitement for the day, that was just seeing that sandwich and dreaming about what was on the other side. And I've yet to eat one of those sandwiches.
I feel like our little run bunch needs to do like a run bunch brunch.
That's
and like
favorites.
Make all of the things. But yeah, I always say that my best look, like I look my like flawless while eating. So I love I am at my most beautiful when eating. So I love to video myself eating. So there is like a reel of, or like a highlight like stories thing on of me just eating stuff.
All right, we're going to keep going down this icebreaker here. You and your life partner, yes. Matt Sawyer, y'all can take notoriously big bites of food, yes, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, team big bites. That's also one of my hashtags.
Yeah, yes. There's some interesting videos, I will just say, involving hot dogs at Indians/Guardians game.
That's Matt and me, but mostly Matt. But yeah, no, we have like a lot of famous phrases, like, well, in our home, but it's, you know, team big bites, and also like single cheeseburgers are for quitters, you know, like like things like that, you know.
I'm gonna mark this
food
because
motivated.
This is absolutely the highlight.
Yeah, this is the preview podcast video. Eve right here.
Yep, right here.
No one will be shocked.
Let's real quick, I have shared many a meal with Courtney over the last year, as she is, as I talk about the fast friends a lot, she is one of them. Yeah. And we frequently go to the track and then go to Casa Del Mar, yes, in Norton, Ohio, and eat Mexican food. Yeah, right. And I mean, they're going to sponsor us whether they like it or not, because we're talking about throwing their logo on
everything.
Singlets. I mean, is it like trademark infringement if you're just sponsoring their product with, their product?
I feel like if little league teams can get local like Dairy Queens to sponsor, we should be able to get Casa Del Mar.
It's a little different when you have a bunch of like middle-aged people going, "We run fast. Can you give us money?"
Well, so like we went in there the other night, and Matt and I had not been in a while, and I think he's the owner. He came up to Matt and said, my friend, like, I haven't seen you in a while. So I really don't think it would be that hard for Matt to ask and say, can we just use your logo? Because he said he had missed seeing us because we had missed a few Wednesdays, like, as a whole group. And so I really don't think it would be hard for Matt to be like, would you care if, you know, just put your logo on our shirt?
Maybe give us money for the singlets.
Something.
Yeah, whatever. All right, so speaking of giving money, you have Kindness Runs the World. You're wearing your sweatshirt right now. That's a very interesting concept. I want you to kind of like talk us through that a little bit, because you do a lot of really, really cool things. You're like a running philanthropist almost. Just not one of the really rich philanthropists,
like a Rockefeller
or something. But yeah, kind of like take us through a little bit of how that started and what you do with Kindness Runs the World.
So the year was 2020, and I was a teacher for a decade. I taught high school Spanish, and pre-COVID, I was finishing up another master's degree, and I knew that I was going to need to take a sabbatical to do some of the course requirements, and I got it all approved before COVID like really hit the world, or like the Western world, and because otherwise never would my sabbatical have been approved, because people always are like, oh, well, that was perfect timing. I'm like, no, never would they have given me a sabbatical during a pandemic. So So I got that approved, and I still was working, you know, during my sabbatical, I was still at the school part-time, which was pretty unconventional. Like, most teachers that take sabbaticals are not there at all. So I was there part-time, but because I was there part-time, it gave me a lot of, like, extra time to just pursue other things, and I was making half pay, so I needed to kind of, find some supplemental income. So I joined PLX as soon as they started back post-COVID, so May of 2020 when they started meeting up again. And I started really getting into running, because before then I knew I was going to run a marathon in 2020, but like I had no idea really what I was doing. And so I started running with them. And at one of the runs, Nicole Grary David, the OG, the queen, she was talking to this like super tall guy, and he was really emphatic and enthusiastic. And I'm like an energy leech. Like if you are really passionate about something, I'm like, I'm zoned in, I'm listening. And so he's talking about this thing called Project Outrun, because so much of Kindness Runs the World ties back to Project Outrun, which, spoiler alert, I work for now. So I hear him talking, and I don't know this man from Adam. Fun. And I'm, like, listening and, like, nodding. And so then I kind of took that home, and I just couldn't believe what this amazing organization was doing. And I said, hey, I messaged Andy Shepherd, the founder of Project Outrun, and was like, hey, I'm training for the Akron Marathon. I know it's going to be virtual, but I want this marathon to mean something, because training for it right now feels really selfish. Like, it feels like it's me, my training, my schedule, like, and I don't like that. And so I was able to turn my first marathon, which was virtual, into a fundraiser for Project Outrun. And then from there, I just was like all in. And so we did the marathon, and it was like that virtual marathon was the best marathon I probably will ever run in my life. If you ask anyone that was there with me that day, it was people, I posted my route, and people just from all over just met me on my route. They ran with me. They biked with me. We had like six bikes with people with speakers. We had like 20 people running. Like, it was crazy. It was wonderful.
And where was your route? Cause we had Sam Smith on, and she was on, she's talked about how she did the towpath,
yeah,
which would be tremendously terrible.
So we did do some towpath. We started at Manchester Road, and we ran all the way to Second Soul. And remember that one section was closed. So we had to go down by, yeah, like through Akron, and those steps behind Lock 3, those were in my marathon. So like I ran stairs. Matt was on a bike. He carried the bike up the stairs.
Life partner, Matt.
Life partner. He's the best. And then we met at Second Soul, and then we did the box loop around Second Soul. So Akron Peninsula and Riverview and all that. And then, yep, we did another short out and back on the towpath. So there was some towpath and then some road as well. But good it mix. Was such a party, and it was the best ever. And so then after the marathon, I reached out to Andy, because I love to bake and I love to eat, as you know. And I said, hey, can I throw a bake sale for you? And he was like, well, that's never been done before. And so he was like, yeah, just make it whatever you want. So then that was where the first annual pop-up Project Outrun pop-up bake shop sock hop, that's what it was called. that was the first official one. And then that was like so amazing, but I had no idea what to do with that. You know, like, is that just a fun thing that I do once a year? I don't know. And then I'm not sure if you're familiar with Angie Pohl. She has Good Running in, I think, Chagrin, but she's like a running philanthropist. Like, she's incredible. And I'm just really inspired by her, and she's such a sweet human. And so I kind of looked up what she was doing, and I was like, I want to do something like that, where I can just be some kind of support system for nonprofits. Like, I don't want to bring anything home. I just want to support them and help them grow in like whatever capacity that may be. And mm-hmm. then that was the birth of Kindness Runs the World. So the tagline, which I don't use very often, is supporting local through sweat, love, and kindness. And then basically, if you boil it down, it's like event planning and or social media content creation for nonprofit purposes. So whatever sort of creative collaboration we can do to like support these nonprofits. So like last year I did like one free piece of social media content for like any local nonprofit that wanted it. It was small, just because like it's me, so it's like I'm not a huge thing. But if they wanted one piece of social media content that they could reuse to like grow their mission or like one of them was a for Luke's Warriors. They had a 5K coming up, so they wanted something that told their story each year for their 5K. And then we also do the bake sale, which is now called Sugar and Soul. So we have Sugar and Soul bake sale that'll be in September. And then in the spring, usually, and we don't have it in the books right now, but usually in the spring, I do a trash cleanup with Charles Twig, Jamie Twig, and Eamon Scullion. And we do a valley cleanup, you know, just to kick off the spring for all of the runners. And then sometimes at that event, we'll do like raffle baskets. And then the proceeds from the raffle baskets will go to a nonprofit. But yeah, so it's just fun events to support local nonprofits. That's it.
Adam, you ask. I'm taking notes.
Oh, okay. this is how organic we are here.
I love it.
So as a recovering teacher myself, like you mentioning that you had been a teacher, have you just completely left that field since?
Yeah, I mean, when I left, I think it was really jarring for people because I didn't hate my job. Mm-hmm. And I loved the relationships that I had with my students. And I only ever had some kids that I just felt were like hard for me to build a relationship with, but they had another teacher. Mm-hmm. So I think that sometimes teachers are so hard on themselves because they're like, I can't build this relationship with this kid, but like maybe you're not their person, you know, at the school.
Yeah.
And I only had maybe two kids ever like that in my decade of teaching. Mm-hmm. So I really loved where I worked. I was Streetsboro Rockets.
Oh, I was down in Ravenna.
Yeah. So I loved being a Rocket. I was there 10 years and I think it was like weird when I left, but I told everyone, I was like, I'd rather leave at the peak than in like a valley of despair. So the fact that I had a sabbatical during a pandemic and knowing that if I came back from that sabbatical, how vastly different the educational landscape was going to be and how much trauma kids went through, like, I mean, the world went through, but especially kids during that time, you know, I give it to all the teachers that are there, but I just was like, I just loved what I was doing too much. I don't know if I want to feel differently about it.
Right.
Which is sometimes hard.
So now you're helping nonprofits and working with you're specifically working with a nonprofit now, which we had star of one of the events, Eamon Scullion, on last year to talk about the Outrun Eamon. Tell us a little bit about Project Outrun. Eamon did an awesome job with it. And, you know, I didn't know much about it before Eamon came on. Mm-hmm. And then he as he was talking about it, and I was doing research on it before we brought him on, I was just really blown away with what y'all do, especially in the Akron area, because we have such a good children's hospital at Akron Children's. I think, and you know, I think even running like the Columbus Marathon, where you have that with Nationwide Children's, I think it just makes you more aware of the plight of a lot of sick kids. And, you know, I think to see an organization that tries to, or doesn't try, that makes, you know, sick kids' lives cooler. I think that's a pretty badass mission. And so how did you, I mean, you kind of gave us a little bit of how you got involved with them, but you're actually working for them now. But what do you kind of do there, and what is Project Outrun for those who didn't catch our Outrun Eamon special last May, I believe.
Which they should go back and watch because it was really good. And also it talks about our 5K, which we'll have in this coming year too. So I'll tell you about what our organization is, and then I'll talk about like what I do here. So if you can see behind me, we have shoe wallpaper. Look at that.
So I love Project, shoes. I do too.
We love shoes. So Project Outrun is a support and empowerment nonprofit organization that supports and empowers kids and families as they battle pediatric cancer. But how we do that is a little bit different. So our entire project is built off of a sport to heal metaphor. So rather than calling these children patients, we call them Outrun athletes. So everything is, well, our Outrun athletes, we want to do this for them. And so basically what we do is we work with these kiddos and their families, and they design custom Nike by You and Converse shoes, which we then purchase for them and send to them at no cost to the families. So at no point, like, obviously we have a fantastic donor base, incredible. Like, so many nonprofits struggled through COVID. Project Outrun, we were sustained the whole time and never even through a first party fundraiser up until Outrun Amen. Like, we were, have the most incredible support. So we get custom Nike by You and Converse shoes. The kids go on Nike by You or Converse, and they can customize everything from the sole to the swoosh, the colors, their phrases, their messages, whatever empowers them on what we call the road to recovery. So also, and I was prepared for this. So in addition to sending them shoes, we also send each Outrun athlete a swag bag. Okay. And then in their swag bag, they get a really cool shirt, which right now we actually have two versions. So we have like our Project Outrun athlete or athletic department shirt. And then on the back, that's, it really says, cool. I'm not sick, but my shoes are, and faster every day. And then we recently got these ones made too that say faster every day on the front. And we like send, we have like a whole bunch of different colors and things like that. So again, we just always try to make them feel super empowered and like they're an athlete on the road to recovery. And then they also get socks, which we usually have a few different colors of those. These are the gray camo, and the toe says faster every day. And they get a really cool finisher's medal. And then they get a little packet that kind of explains like what's in their swag bag and the road to recovery essentials. But the most important thing that they get in their swag bag is this personalizable, customizable finish line that says I'm finished with. And then it has like a line for them to fill in. Mm. So we tell them the shoes and the swag are free, but it all costs a goal. So they can set whatever goal that they want. It doesn't even have to be related to cancer. It doesn't have to be related to treatment. It can be literally anything that they want. We just ask that whenever they reach that goal, that they have some people hold the finish line, they bust through it, and then they put on their finisher's medal in their outruns, which are their shoes. Mm-hmm. So that is like the meat of what we do. So our founder's name is Andy Shepherd, and if you think I've got energy, that man is the hype the hype man of Akron. He's also an incredible pacer, so we call him, like, if you ever need a pacer for any race, call Andy Shepherd. So he's the founder, and it all started with him here in Akron when he ran Kylie Rose's Run, which is another local 5K for Kylie Rose Jacobs, who is a three-time cancer fighter and survivor. She's cancer-free for, like, over 5 years, I think. I could be wrong on that. But and he was just so moved by her story that he bought her the first pair of Outruns and sent them to her. And at the time, that family, they were strangers to him, and now – Eric Jacobs, her dad, is like a brother to him. So there, and he's like on our board and stuff. So it's founded here in Akron, started at Akron Children's originally, but we work with families all over the country. And when I was doing kind of our wrap up data for 2022, we have actually worked with families in 49 out of 50 states. We're doing Hawaii. We just need Hawaii. So yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's
really how many great. Athletes do y'all, like, did y'all work with in 2022? Like, do you have, are you even, I don't know if you're even able to share that.
But. Yeah, no. So 2022, and like, that's the other thing, is we also have a sibling fund, but at this time, so we're able to like provide shoes and swag for siblings too, which is mm-hmm. not only great for their mental health, but also a big financial burden, like relief for families, because we're mm-hmm. giving like quality shoes, you know, to these children. So we have the sibling fund as well. Right now it's currently active only in Northeast Ohio, just because of our funding. But our big goal is to eventually make the sibling fund like standard operating practice across the country. We just need to grow a bit more so that we can get there. But I think last year we had like between 750, maybe around 750 Outrun athletes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like 750 OutRun athletes, and then also some of them we were able to utilize the sibling fund with as well.
That number is about 10 times higher than I thought you were going to say. I'm not going to lie.
I figured 100 or so.
That's incredible.
Yeah, no, we're hustling. We grind.
I see that.
Yeah. Yeah, so our goal is, you know, to be in the 1 to 2,000 range this coming year. Part of my job, my techie. So my second master's is in educational technology. So part of what I do here is like streamline the tech and workflow and all those fun things. So we're hoping with some of the like things that we've built, we're able to make things even more efficient so that we can reach more families. So we would love to be like closer to 1,000 or 1,500 this year. And then, so the number of new pediatric cancer diagnoses every year is 10,000. So our goal is to one day join 10,000 teams in the fight every year. So like that's a part, like you get diagnosed, you become an OutRun athlete, we get you shoes and support.
You're gonna make me cry. How can people help you reach that goal?
So what's great is like we do have a lot of networks that are like, can we put you in this like book, or like can we put you on our site? And we haven't like fully unleashed the beast yet, just because I am the only employee of this organization. So like Andy, our founder, he works a full-time big boy job and like does this in his spare time. And then so I'm the only employee. So like we are really hoping to build out our workflow, get it down like super down pat, get our manufacturing guarantees and all of those things, which will be pretty integral because Nike by You is a totally separate entity from standard Nike. So they have like manufacturing caps. So to do 10,000 pairs a year when they're doing like 250,000 pairs a year, that's like, you know, I mean, it's not a huge chunk, but it's a chunk. So, so right now we are like really grinding away to make sure that our process is next to flawless. And super efficient, but you know, the best way, we still want to make sure that we don't miss a family, especially not in Northeast Ohio. So like anyone that knows anyone in Northeast Ohio or anywhere that has a diagnosis, we want to join their team. So the best thing that people can do is just to continue to share about our project, share about the mission, and support us in that way. Obviously, if people want to donate, we run solely on donations. We've had a few really, like the OutRun Amen, like the sponsorship was great. We have a few family foundations that also support us that are really great. And we're just, people are really generous with us, which is really fantastic. That's why we're able to continue to do all of this work through COVID when a lot of nonprofits really struggled.
Right. Where can people find out more information on this?
Okay. So our website is projectoutrun.org. And then we also have Facebook and Instagram, so just at Project OutRun.
Cool. Okay. That's amazing stuff. I mean, seriously, like when you say that you want to like get shoes in on the feet of all 10,000 diagnoses every year, that, I mean, that's freaking incredible. Like that's the goal. And I mean, that I kind of made a joke, you're going to make me cry, but I mean, it's worthy of that. Like to have a goal that audacious for something that, that serious. And I mean, that's impactful just to have the goal and that it's sincere. Like that's, we can tell that's a sincere goal. And, you know, again, going back to Columbus and running past like the Angel Mile and all the children's champions and stuff.
Yeah,
you see what the impact of something like what you do at Project OutRun means, you know, to not treat kids like they're sick, to make kids rock stars and give them this, you know, a platform of just being awesome instead of being a patient, is worthy of praise. And, you know, that I just think it's freaking awesome. I do. I love it. And to hear you talk about it, I think is really cool. And again, that goal is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big, like, that's a really big number. And obviously, we are not even a tenth of the way there yet. But, you know, like, you know, to have a big impact, you have to set big, scary goals sometimes. And we just, you know, like, even if for anyone that was, like, even at Outrun Amen, like, there is no limit. Like, the limit does not exist. Like, we don't believe in, like, there's no such thing as too much hype. There's no such thing as, like, too much fun. There's no such thing as, like, it can't happen. So, yeah, 10,000 is a big number, but, and we won't be there tomorrow. We probably won't be there next year, but it is the goal to, like, we want this to be a default part of that, you know, journey, that experience for these kids and their families. Because yeah, it's just, it's a scary, I can't even imagine, you know, I can't even imagine how these families are feeling. But to be that light and the color and the fun and all the things and loud and hyper, you know, we just try to bring them that joy whenever that we can.
I think too, you know, I've never experienced this with anybody in my family. When you get it, you know, when somebody in your family has a diagnosis like that, you do have a team, and that team is going to consist so much of medical personnel, which is absolutely necessary, but also really scary. And one of the best things that I love about running is the social aspect of it, and to take that sort of team social aspect and provide it in a supportive way that doesn't really have to be about the diagnosis, just about there's people in your corner, people that are there to support you. It's not really something I would have thought of, like, taking and applying elsewhere, but it seems like it would seamlessly work, and that's just such a cool thing to see.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really great, and I think that, like, these medical personnel, like, we try to do something for, like, nurse appreciation and, like, all of that stuff, because they are, you know, they become, like, family to these families, are so important. But like you said, a lot of the time the hospital environment itself, not the people within it, but, like, the environment can feel somewhat sterile. And scary, you know, especially for small children. So it's just nice to show up and be like, here's this, like, big, colorful, loud project that you're going to get to be a part of. And, like, you get to take these shoes and make them as loud and zany and crazy or muted. We have, you know, some of our teenagers are really, like, in all whites right now. But whatever you want them to be, that's what you get to make. So.
Well, you just talked about the sterility of the hospital, and you could not be more right about that. Like, on a on a smaller scale, 10 years ago today, my son was in the hospital as a 3-week-old baby, and we were there for a few weeks before he had surgery on his 1-month birthday, and it was awful, and it was some of that sterility made it unbearable for my wife and I to even be there sometimes. And yes, our nurses, except for one, were amazing. Our one of our doctors was didn't have the greatest bedside manner, but the other doctor was from the University of Akron, and he was awesome, because to have that connection with somebody in Austin, Texas was cool. But, you know, it's tough, because so much heartbreak is associated with a hospital. It is very sterile. Everything is, it's not a place of joy. It's not a place of excitement and fun and happiness. It's blah. And
yeah. And I think that, like, especially like Akron Children's, like, they really do a great job of, like, you know, taking some of that sterility out and, like, having these fun events and, like, all of these things. And so, like, this past year they had, like a sports week. And so they invited us in to, like, take over a part of the floor and, like, visit with families. So, like, Andy got to go in and visit with families, which was, like, the first time since COVID that he was able to do that during sports week. So it was really cool that they invited us to, like, be a part of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I'm so proud of the work you're doing. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, we've had this intersection of Rust Belt Running and PLX and, like, Project Outrun and Kindness Runs the World and all these other groups kind of come together in this area. And, you know, it's fun to be a part of that community. And over the last, especially the last years, I've gotten to know you better. I'm stoked and honored to have that, but also to, you know, all the work that you've done is really cool. I did want to bring up something not related to Project Outrun specifically that I think is interesting. Man, 2020 really set off PLX, and I didn't realize it, like, to the extent that I have over the last few weeks as we've talked to certain people, and even as I've gotten to know a few more people over the last year or so, a lot of people really started in 2020 with them.
Yeah. So
I thought you were there longer than that.
No, I mean, that group has been around a decade now. But for me, I started running in 2017, and I came from a CrossFit background. So I was like a CrossFitter before I was a runner. But a friend of mine had a daughter, and her daughter spent 52 days in Akron Children's immediately after birth. And so that year she wanted to do the Akron Marathon relay for her daughter, Team Emmeline. And so I started running then. And then in 2019, I did the relay. Then I did a couple half marathons and I was like, okay, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do the marathon thing. So then I signed up and then COVID hit. But like, I am incredibly stubborn. So once I signed up, like that I said I was going to do this marathon, there was like no, in my mind, like no going back. And so I had no idea. I was just going to, like, I had used Hal Higdon plans in the past. So I was like, I'll probably just get a Hal Higdon plan for a marathon and, like, roll with it. And then I, like, before COVID really hit, I was like, okay, I've been seeing this PLX group, like, everywhere. I really want to go. But I'm not really a runner. I'm not, like, fast. Like, I shouldn't be there. You know, like all the things that a lot of runners do before they go with groups of people, you know?
Yeah.
And then COVID hit. And I was like, well, now you missed your shot. Way to go, Court. And I was really bummed. So Matt and I ran some together in the months, like after the world shut down. And then life finally, partner. You're my life partner, Matt. Matty boy. And so I was like, it was like May or something. And they were like, we're back, baby. And they posted that they were going to like have a group. And I was like, Courtney, this is it. Like, you thought you missed your shot. You're going to go. I don't care if you're the slowest person in the group, you're going. And I went and then I never looked back. Like, it was like, I was so like, could not have been more thrilled to just have human bodies around me. Like, I was thrilled and I didn't care that I was like, you know, I think there was like two videos. I made a video or something like after I'd gone to a couple PLX runs. And I said, I'm just happy that when they're running, I can see the girls' ponytails swishing in the wind. Like, I just didn't want to get lost. And it was Nicole's ponytail because she has that long, dark hair. And I was like, okay, if I can just see the ponytail swishing, we're fine. And that was like how I ran for like a while. And yeah, and it's great. And it's a place for everyone. I really was convinced that like, I was too slow.
If you don't know Courtney at all, I am imagining Courtney after a time of no human interaction and what that must have been like to see her around people again. Because goodness. You were talking about CrossFit and then running. Yeah, you do a lot. You've done marathons. You're constantly posting videos of you doing squats and other strength workout, which a lot of us runners suck at. And now you have begun dabbling in ultras, and it seems like you're doing one like every other month. give us a little bit of that. We don't have a ton of time, but give us a little bit of your like journey there. And how do you actually manage to do all that you do with all that you do?
So first of all, I will say that like being the only employee of a nonprofit and he hates that I call him my boss, but Andy, my Andy Shepherd. So I work for Andy, who is also a runner. And he just gets it. Like, he gets that, like, life needs balance. And so he allows me to make my schedule whatever it is. He knows that, like, I can crank out a lot of work at a very rapid pace. So he always says, like, 8 hours of Courtney time is, like, 16 hours of, like, a normal person time. in terms of work pace. So I just,
again, if you don't know Courtney, that is a perfect.
Oh, it's coming across.
Yeah. Yes. The math checks out.
Go. So like I will. He lets me make my work schedule like whatever I want it to be, which is so nice. And like I've just been able to have the best work-life balance like since making this transition into a field that I like knew nothing about prior. So that's how I'm able to like squeeze it in. So I have a very non-traditional work schedule, which really works for me. And I like that. But yeah, so I ran my first marathon in 2020. And then Matt wanted to run a marathon. He hadn't run a marathon ever yet. So then we ran Akron Marathon 2021 together. And that was obviously not virtual. And Sand Run, even though we really trained for it, chewed us up and spat us out. He was ahead of me at that point. I caught him and we both cried. I caught him at Sand Run. We are big criers. We have a lot of feelings. And we both cried as on Sand Run together. So that was great. Sorry, sweetie. And then, yeah, so that happened. And then he was like, we went home that night and neither one of us were physically hurting that bad, which is, as you know, as a runner, like a really dangerous time.
Yeah.
And Nicole had just come out with this Loop the Lake thing. And he was like, we were ordering DoorDash and he goes, oops. And I'm like, oops. Like, how do you oops on a DoorDash? And he goes, I signed up for the 50K. I'm like, the Loop the Lake 50K was on DoorDash? What? Where are we? I don't. You just ordered a 50K? So I was like, well,
did Nicole show up to your door? Like,
confirming your entry.
Confirming. You're in it. And so then I was like, all right, well, I'm doing this because, like, I insist upon us having memories together. So I was like, if you're doing it, I'm doing it. I have to have the memory. And so, so then I did Loop the Lake 50K, which was incredibly fun. And I could not recommend it, especially for someone doing their first 50K. That should be it. Because fueling is easy, great crowd support. Everyone should do it. And then from there, yeah, like this year, Matt ran Akron Marathon, and I set up a pacing relay team for him, and that was really fun. So through Project Outrun, we've had two runners for the past 2 years use their Burning River Ultra Marathon as a fundraising campaign for our project. And so for the past 2 years, I've got to watch these people, one of them being Mike Pavlak, who is the best human.
Yes, he's one of them.
Do this. And I was like, I think I want to do that. And so yeah, I started dabbling in trails this year. So I'll do Burning River 50 in July. And then I have two training races, one next weekend. It's called the Rocks and Roots Trail Series. So I'll do a 40K next weekend and then a 50K in February.
Yeah. Look at you.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I dabble in some lifting. I lift at Generation Strong. Cannot suggest or recommend them enough. Serenity is incredible. So she's helping. I have a whole team keeping me healthy. So Serenity has the lifting and then the running. And then I get all my tune-ups at Physio Ortho Perform again with Mike Pavlak. And then we just keep moving.
And Wednesday night track workouts with me and a bunch of other people.
Yeah. Who they do like fast boy and fast girl things. And then I think the trick to being an ultra or at least like trail runner is like I have little to no knee drive. So my feet just kind of like scoot. So they're all like gazelles on the track and I'm just like scooting about.
And then we go eat Mexican food and everything's cool.
Yeah. Queso is the great equalizer. So
somebody post something in our Fast Friends group about queso the other day?
Yeah, that was me.
Was that you?
Say blood, I want queso now.
It was blood is thicker than water, but queso is thicker than blood. Mexican food's more important than family or something. It was like something like that.
That checks out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been a ton of fun. I have really enjoyed having you on, Courtney. And all the work you do with Project Outrun is incredible. What you've done with Kindness Runs the World, almost being an aggregator of nonprofits in the Akron area, is really cool. We didn't even talk about when you dress up as like 70s newscaster.
Oh yeah, Bob
and
Mahogany.
Run races. Yeah, we didn't even touch on that. But
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah,
other
Bob
pictures?
Mahogany.
Can I go find this one?
Yeah, so on the Kindness Runs the World Instagram, I don't have a Facebook for it. I only have Instagram. But
same.
So I just felt like people were going to get sick of seeing my face all the time. So I was like, what better way to entertain and spread the good word than to dress up like a 70s newscaster at like a track night? So it's loosely based off of Ron Burgundy. The character's name is Bob Mahogany.
My apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Rich mahogany.
And I have many leather-bound
books. You ate the whole wheel of cheese? I'm not even mad.
Yeah, so that's sometimes...
Oh, my God.
I do have stickers, so I'll send you guys the Bob Mahogany stickers.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and I have a golden microphone. And it's incredible. Yeah. Yeah, I just need a better mustache manufacturer because I ran a 5K dressed as Bob, and I sweated off the mustache. So,
so you need a better adhesive is what it is.
I used spirit gum, which is what they use for cosplay. Like, I was slathered in glue, and I'm just like, I'm very sweaty. But yeah, I just sweated it off.
Gross.
My Lord, this is fantastic.
Yep. And we also conduct run interviews. So those are interviews done on the run.
You can find all of this and more at Kindness Runs the World on Instagram. You can also find out more about Project Outrun at Project Outrun and at projectoutrun.org. Really good stuff. I had a lot of fun talking to you today, and I can't wait for the weather to warm up so that Wednesdays are a regular thing again.
Yeah, for real.
And I'm happy for the future and to see what goes on with Project Outrun, and you know, keep up the good work there. And I know that you guys will hit that that goal of you know, touching every pediatric cancer diagnosis each year.
Thank
you. A noble goal and attainable.
Thank you. Yeah, we have the best support, and our community of support continues to grow. So we're just really, really thankful, and we are hoping in the next couple of months to share more about this year's Outrun Amen 5K. So be on the lookout for that in the coming months.
Absolutely. Can't wait. So Courtney, thanks again. Adam, I will see you next week. And
yes.
Until then, everybody, enjoy your miles.